Grace to you and peace be yours from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I wanted to start out by reading a section of Anne Lamott's little book, Grace Eventually, Some Thoughts on Faith, in which she describes teaching a Sunday school class of 3- and 4-year-olds. I started off class, as I always do, by separating the known offenders. Two brothers who are 4 and 5 and from whom one can expect more or less muffled explosions. We had only boys that day. The brothers, 2 6-year-olds and a 3-year-old wild man, we'll call Frederick, and Frederick's mother. I welcomed everyone, made introductions, and launched into an exercise we call soft body. We clenched our fists and our faces and scrunched up our shoulders up to our ears like Nixon. We held that for a minute, grimacing, and then at the count of 3, we released. Then we did it again. It's a tool for the children, the tool of having their bodies be quiet for a few minutes. Afterwards, they revert to form, bouncing in their seats, poking, blurting, sliding down wide-eyed like corpses beneath the table. But when I said, butts on chairs now, they obeyed. Except for Frederick, who shimmied and babbled. His mother looked as if she could use a refreshing martini. Next, as always, we did loved and chosen. I sat on the couch and glanced around in a goofy, menacing way and then said, is anyone here wearing a blue sweatshirt with Pokemon on it? The four-year-old looked down at his chest, astonished to discover that he matched the description. Like, what are the odds? He raised his hand. Come over here to the couch, I said. You are so loved and so chosen. He clutched at himself like a beauty pageant finalist. And then I asked if anyone that day was wearing green socks with brown shoes, a Giants cap, an Argyle vest. Each of them turned out to be loved and chosen, which does not happen so often. My friend, Jesuit friend Tom, once told me that this is a good exercise because, in truth, everyone is loved and chosen. God loves them because God loves. Now, here's the thing. That chapter is actually about something completely different. It's only the prologue, the description of something else that she does with this Sunday school class. But for me as a reader, that story of being loved and chosen, the wonder of the four-year-old looking down and to see that, oh, his shirt has Pokemon on it, so he must be the one who's loved and chosen. It's that part of the chapter that's always stuck with me because somehow I think it's the thing that all of us are longing for. To know that we, each one of us, in our individuality for who we are loved and chosen by God. And how amazing the surprise and the grace is to discover that when the scriptures talk about love, as many of our texts do today, from 1 John and from the Gospel of John, Jesus is speaking to us with astonishing specificity. Jesus tells us to abide in his love, that he chose us, and that we did not choose him, but he chose us first. Loved and chosen is what we are. And the path to joy is living in that love and being in Jesus' friend and being friends to one another. God's dream, you might say. It all sounds simple. I mean, this is where you go, right, church, to hear that God loves you, that God has chosen you. But as the Indigo Girl once sang, the hardest to learn is the least complicated. Or perhaps you could invert that. The least complicated things are the hardest things to learn. There seems to be something, some ways in which we human beings tend to make this news that we are loved and chosen difficult. That rather in reveling in God's love for us, rather than celebrating the sheer joy of being chosen, rather than looking at ourselves in our uniqueness, the way that little four-year-old looked at his own shirt and discovering that it's me that God has loved and chosen, somehow we seem to slip away from that good news. I mean, there's a lot of preaching out there that will try to convince you that it's not that God chose you first, but that you've got to choose God first before God will love you. There's a lot out there that will force you to say, you know, God will love you if, not just God loves you because God has decided to do that, but God will love you if you get your life straight. God will love you if what? You never take a drink. God will love you if you clean up your life. God will love you if your family situation is drama-free. God will love you if you make a decision to believe in Jesus. There's a lot of preaching that'll point you to that. But it gets the Gospel of John wrong, because what Jesus says is, you didn't choose me. I chose you first. I love you not because you loved me first, but because you love because I loved you. And so being loved and chosen is not like a transaction, like deciding whether you're going to buy a Chevy or a Toyota. Being loved and chosen is just about living in the unfolding love of God. We don't choose God. God chooses us. In our first lesson, our story from Acts today, there's the story of a bunch of people getting baptized. It's a good one for the day, since we had a couple babies being baptized today. The people that are getting baptized are unnamed in our part of the lesson, but it's actually Cornelius's house, and Peter is there with a bunch of other Jewish believers to preach the word of God. Cornelius is not Jewish like Peter is. Cornelius is a Roman. Romans and Jews are not friends with one another. They speak roughly different languages. They do not eat the same foods, and they never hang out together. But the Holy Spirit has called Peter to be there, to share the good news of Jesus. And as he does, the Holy Spirit just falls on Cornelius and his household. And the response of the party that's there is just basically like, obviously, God has chosen these people that we would never choose to be friends with to become part of his family. So who can withhold the water? We've got to baptize because it is God's decision to accept these folks into the family. Cornelius would never have chosen Peter. Peter would never have chosen Cornelius, but God chose them both. For our God is always saying, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And baptism, in that case, becomes the visible sign of God's wonderful choice, God's unconditional love. Today we're celebrating that David and Demetrius have received that sign of life. Their parents have brought them to this font. But what we are trusting is that the Holy Spirit's been working through them. Whenever somebody comes to ask for baptism, that's the Holy Spirit at work, saying, I am choosing this beloved child. I want to give them this gift and this wonderful sign of my unconditional love. Before baptism is ever anything that we could do, it's something that God's at work doing. And so we trust that God's at work in and through you all, and in and through this congregation, and will continue to work in and through all of us to bring grace and love and joy to the world. So indeed, this day we celebrate that we are God's family, baptized by water and word, set free to love one another with fullness, to look down at ourselves in great wonder, Because we, Pokemon shirt or not, are loved and chosen. Amen.